All right, let's read Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to go over this chapter. And we looked at the first two verses last week, which describes for us the rise of the Antichrist. We're in the time of tribulation, and we'll get to that in just a moment, and then we'll look at the rest of the chapter. Here's what John said, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. He said, "Now, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.'" That's what he said to John. "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." And that is the Antichrist. That is the arise of the Antichrist after the rapture of the church, and as the world enters into the time of tribulation. "When he," that is Jesus, "opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come and see.'" He was talking to John. "Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.' When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. When the sky receded, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Amen. Now, in our study of the book of Revelation right now, we're in the time of the tribulation. Just let me catch you up really quickly. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's there because he's a Christian, he's a faithful Christian, he's an important Christian leader. And the Romans have put him out on this island. He's a 90-year-old man, bless his heart, out there in the horrid conditions of a Roman prison on an isolated island out in the middle of the Aegean Sea. The Romans put him out there fully expecting him not to last very long and to die pretty quickly. But God was orchestrating all of that. The sovereign God was using his providence to put John in that place because he wanted John to be there to receive a very special revelation. And that revelation is what we know as the book of Revelation. And so John is receiving this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. There's so many questions about that we don't know the answer to. As I shared with you guys, when we get to heaven, we'll have a lot of questions that we're going to ask and try to get the answer to. But John is there and he receives this revelation. And the book of Revelation, initially, the initial audience is the seven churches of Asia. That are the little letters are recorded to those churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And then John gets in after that, after the Lord uses him to address those seven churches. He then gets into what's going to happen in the future. Now, what we're talking about now is prophecy. This is biblical prophecy, and there's so much prophecy in the Bible. A great deal of the Bible has to do with what is going to happen even yet in our future. And so what we're looking at now is in the future. So let me tell you where we are. The rapture has happened. We saw that in the previous chapters 4 and 5. The rapture's happened. We're gone. We're stepping on the clouds. We're in heaven. God has taken His church out of the world. In the aftermath of that is what we're looking at in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And so the seals, you know, remember the Father on the throne holding the scroll with seven seals, and Jesus steps forward and He takes the scroll from the hand of the Father, and He begins to open up these seals. And each one of these seals represents a judgment that God is going to bring on the earth after the rapture of the church during the time of the tribulation. Now, these judgments overlap one another. They are simultaneous to one another. And these judgments begin to grow in intensity as the 7 years of the time of tribulation passes. In fact, we'll see that the seventh seal contains seven more judgments, and then the seventh one of those judgments contains seven more judgments. So what you actually have is a series of 21 actions or judgments of God that will fall upon the earth during the 7 years of tribulation. And tonight we look at the first six of those scrolls, or the first six of those seals that are open. Now, last week we looked at the first one, and that is the rise of the Antichrist. So after the Antichrist emerges, then God begins to mete out His justice and His judgment on a lost world. Now, why does God take 7 years? You know, why did He take 7 days to create all that there is? God could have created everything instantaneously. He could have spoke it in a moment, in less than a moment, and everything would have been created. So why did He take 6 days and He rested on the seventh? Why did God do that? Well, there's always a purpose and a plan to what God does. And God, when He created all that there is, He took 6 days to create and work, and then He rested on the seventh. And that set the rhythm for life for His creation. He did that purposely. He set the rhythm of life. You work 6 days, you rest on the seventh. He set a rhythm for life for creation. Now, why does God take 7 years to mete out His judgment upon a lost world? He could do it instantaneously. He could do it in a moment. Well, He takes 7 years because of grace and mercy. Because as we shall see, during the 7 years that He's pouring out His judgment, He's still extending His grace to a lost world. And in fact, as we shall see in our study of the book of Revelation, multitudes of people will be saved during the time of the tribulation. It will be a great time of harvest and a great time of evangelism. Now, you could call that the tribulation church. You could call that the tribulation saints. The thing about those who are saved during the tribulation is that many of them will lose their lives to the wrath of the Antichrist and to the world turning against those who would proclaim the name of Jesus. So we're going to look at all of that, but that's where we are. So the rapture has happened. The Antichrist is now emerging upon the earth, and Jesus begins to open these seals, and as He opens each one, a judgment comes upon the earth. Now, God is a God of love and grace and mercy. And God, you know, Jesus, if I were in charge, Jesus would have come a long time ago. What about you? I mean, if it was up to me, Jesus would have come many, many years ago, a long time ago. But God is a God of grace and mercy and love and kindness. He desires that none perish, but all come to repentance. Isn't God good? And so God has delayed His coming. We call it delay. God never delays. He's always on time. But we say that God has delayed His coming because He wants to give people the opportunity to be saved. And so for those 7 years, while He metes out His judgment, He also offers grace. And we shall see that. Now, the tribulation will not begin immediately after the rapture. It's not like the rapture happens and the next day the tribulation begins. It will take some time for the Antichrist to emerge as a world figure after the rapture of the church. The world will be in chaos. This event has happened. All of this disappearance has happened, and the world will be in chaos. And it's not just the disappearance of people. It's the withdrawing of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit of God that keeps back evil from the world. We live in an evil world, but you won't believe how evil it will be when God pulls back His restraining power and grace by which He keeps evil at bay even now. God has evil on a leash. God will not allow evil to be as evil as it could be in this world. But after the rapture of the church and the withdrawal of Christians and the withdrawal of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit, God will take the leash off of evil, and He will allow evil to engulf the world with all of its wickedness. And so the time of the tribulation, after the rapture of the church, the world will be in chaos, and it will take some time for the Antichrist to emerge to the position that he will have. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the tribulation time, 7 years, and it gives that specific number, 7 years of tribulation, will not begin until the Antichrist, as the head of the world, signs a 7-year treaty with Israel that will promise security for that nation, and that will allow the Jewish people to rebuild their temple on the spot where God said the temple should be built. Listen to Daniel 9:27. He, that is the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many, with the Jewish nation, for 1 7. That is, a series of seven, that is, for 7 years. In the middle of the seven, halfway through that 7 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. In other words, the Jews will rebuild their temple, and they will begin to do what they have done, to worship as they think they are supposed to worship. But in the middle of that, the Antichrist will come in, and he'll stop the sacrifices and offering, and he'll put an image of himself in the temple, and he will proclaim himself to be God, and he's the one who should be worshipped, not the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. That is an image of himself, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And so the Bible teaches the tribulation will begin when the Antichrist signs a security treaty with Israel. At that moment it will begin. Halfway through the time of the tribulation, he will turn on the nation of Israel. Israel will turn on him. And from then on, Israel will come to know Christ, and there will be a time of great turmoil for the nation of Israel. So the opening of the first seal in Revelation 6 pictures the ascendancy of the Antichrist. Now the rest of the seals that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 6 reveal the final judgments that God is going to bring upon a world that has rejected Him. Now, no one wants to be left behind. No one wants to be left behind. Now, people scoff at the second coming. People scoff and they make fun of the fact that there's going to be a rapture. You know, people have been scoffing at the Bible. People scoffed at Noah. What, the stupid Noah out there building a boat in the middle of nowhere. There was no water where he was building the boat. And Noah kept talking about rain, and guess what? Up to that point, it had never rained on the earth. It had never rained on the earth. And they said, what's rain? You know, you talk about all this water. Where's this water coming from? And they scoffed at Noah, made fun of Noah. And people make fun of the Bible and scoff at the Bible. And see, as long as you're a Christian that wants to get along with the world and tolerate the world and compromise with the world will say, okay, well, you're okay, we'll take you. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, like we are, the world will never accept us. The world will always scoff at us and what we believe, and especially what we believe about the end time. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I am telling you, in my lifetime, there has been a rapid development in the world that has brought us to the point where you can literally see what is happening in the world through the pages of the Bible right now. Amen. We are in very close to the end times for sure. So what are these judgments? The Antichrist comes on the scene. Here's the second seal. As the tribulation begins, there will be a sense of hope and renewal and unity in the world. The Antichrist will have calmed the world down after the rapture. And it would seem to many that the Antichrist had been sent by God to save the world. He's the Antichrist. He's the one who presents himself as Christ instead of the real Christ. And the world will think God has sent us a Savior in the Antichrist. And as the tribulation begins, the nations of the world, the people of the world, will initially rally around the Antichrist. But for the Antichrist, governing the world will prove as difficult as trying to herd a bunch of cats. Right now, our world is prone to evil. When the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone, there'll be an unleashing of evil. And while there is initially unity in the world after the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation and the ascendancy of the Antichrist, soon that coalition will begin to fracture. And soon the coalition, though you can't keep the world together. I'm sorry. You cannot keep the world together. You cannot unite the world, especially when you're trying to unite it around evil. What is evil and wrong? And so you have a worldwide kingdom, and different parts of the world will begin to be in conflict with one another. The Antichrist will try to rule the world, but you'll have nations around the world. Regional conflicts will begin. And eventually some of the nations of the world will form their own coalitions, and soon they will begin to rebel against the centralized control and rule even of the Antichrist. And so at the beginning of the tribulation, you have unity. But as time goes by, this worldwide unity will begin to fracture, and nations will begin to war with one another, and regional conflicts will begin to happen. And eventually, nations will coalesce together to fight against the centralized control of the Antichrist. So the opening of the second seal reveals this, that the 7 years of tribulation will be the bloodiest time of conflict and warfare in human history. Listen again. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and make men slay one another. To him was given a large sword. As the peace of the tribulation disintegrates, the Antichrist will resort to war to quash rebellion and conflict and preserve his authority and his power. And so those 7 years, there will be war upon war upon war, and it will increase as those 7 years go by. Daniel 8:24 says this, "His power shall be mighty," speaking of the Antichrist, "but it will be satanic strength and not his own. Prospering wherever he turns, he will destroy all who oppose him through their arm, though their armies be mighty." And so during the 7 years of tribulation, there will be warfare upon warfare upon warfare, conflict. It will be at first unity, but as time goes by, there will be these conflicts, and there will be these fightings among the nations, and then nations will fight against the centralized authority of the Antichrist, to the point that at the end of the 7 years, the Antichrist will finally call the world together and say, "Why are we fighting one another? We have one common enemy that we must destroy, and if we destroy that enemy, we will win the victory over God who is attacking us, and that enemy we must destroy is the nation of Israel. Because if you kill every Jew, then God cannot fulfill his purposes for the Jewish nation." And that's when they surround Jerusalem, and that's when the Battle of Armageddon, which really won't be much of a battle, will begin. Now, that's the second seal, warfare. Here's the third seal. The third seal reveals that famine, hunger, and greed will increasingly grip the world during the tribulation. You don't want to be left behind after the rapture of the church in a world like that. It'll be nothing like this world. We think this world is evil. You haven't seen anything yet until you see the world after the rapture. Verses 5 and 6, "When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come,' and I looked, and there was before me a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.'" Eventually, in the tribulation, every penny that a common person earns will have to be used to even buy the poorest kind of food for themselves and their family. Go to work during the time of the tribulation, earn your salary, go to the grocery store, you have to spend every dime just for one day's supply. That's what it means, a quart of wheat for a day's wages. Now, how are you going to feed on a quart of wheat? That's not very much. 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, that's not very much. And that's the poorest food you can feed someone in that day. In other words, during the time of the tribulation, there will be increased famine and hunger and greed, because while the poor will get poorer, the rich will get richer. Don't damage the oil and the wine. Oil and wine are luxuries. And so while you have some people barely getting by, spending every penny just to get a little food, you'll have the rich people having plenty of oil and wine during the time of the tribulation. You don't want to be left behind. Warfare, famine, hunger, greed. Now you say, Brother Chris, is that all that really going to happen? Let me ask you something. 20 years ago, do you think what would be happening today would be happening today in America? Absolutely not. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it's going to happen. Here's the fourth seal. The fourth seal reveals the stench of death will fill the world during the time of the tribulation. Again, listen to verses 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by the wild beast of the earth, through warfare, famine, disease, murder, natural disasters. One fourth of the world's population will be killed during the time of the tribulation. If at the start of the time of the tribulation, the world's population is around 7 billion, as it is roughly now, that would mean that almost 1.75 billion people will be killed during the time of the tribulation. The stench of death during the time of the tribulation. You know, there's some people, they say, "Well, I'll wait and see. If the rapture happens, then I believe. I'll believe." But do you know that the people who are less likely to be saved during the tribulation are the people who believe that exact thing? Amen. They will be more likely to believe the deception of the Antichrist as he explains away the rapture of the church. And see, all of these things happen. They happen simultaneously. They overlap one another. It's not like one happens and then here's the next one and then here's the next. They're all happening. And as the 7 years go, they grow in intensity. Famine will grow. Death will grow. Warfare will grow during the 7 years of tribulation. Here's the fifth seal. It's interesting. You know, there are people today in America who wish that no Christians were here. You know, they're trying to erase us from society. They want to take away our access to social media. They don't want churches on Facebook Live. And this administration is going to pass laws that will put us in a pinch as to whether we're going to obey Caesar or not. Will try to control us, and the biblical truth we can preach. We must preach that truth. We must preach that truth. And there are a great number of people, even in our own country, who wish there were no Christians. Imagine, John Lennon said, if there was no religion. And that's the world they want. A world without religion. A world without Christianity. Well, bless their hearts, one of these days they're going to get their wish. That's right. After the rapture happens, there will be no Christians in the world as the tribulation begins. But as the fifth seal reveals, many people will come to Christ and many people will be saved during the tribulation. Listen to Revelation 6, 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, John said, the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These are people killed during the tribulation for their Christian faith. So they're not raptured. They're saved during the tribulation and they lose their life because of it. They call out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" They've lost their life during the time of the tribulation. Then each one of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had was completed. So how are these people going to get saved? If there are no Christians in the world after the rapture of the church, how are these people going to be saved? Well, not everyone will turn to the Antichrist for answers during the rapture. Some people, imagine when Christians are gone, some people will turn to the Bibles and the Christian books and the literature and the sermons and the studies that have been left behind by the Christians who were raptured. And some people will begin to seek those things out to try to understand what's happening in the times. And they'll find this sermon from Brother Chris. They'll find it on the internet. I got a good friend that calls it the internet. And they'll listen to it and they'll say, "That's exactly what is happening." And they'll come to faith in Christ. And people will be saved during the time of the tribulation. Not everybody will turn to the Antichrist. People will be saved. And not only that, an amazing thing will happen during the time of the tribulation. The nation of Israel has never accepted Jesus as their Messiah. There are individual Jews who have been saved, but the nation of Israel as a whole has never accepted Christ. Do you know during the time of the tribulation, the Bible says all Israel will be saved. Israel will finally have their eyes opened, and the nation as a whole will finally accept Jesus as their Messiah. As a result of the preaching and the ministry of the two witnesses that we'll look at in Revelation 11 and the treachery of the Antichrist, the nation of Israel will have its eyes opened and the nation en masse will finally accept Jesus as their Messiah and finally fulfill God's calling to the nation of Israel to tell the world about the truth of God and Jesus Christ. A redeemed nation of Israel, represented by the 144,000 that we'll look at in Revelation 7 and 14. Bless their hearts, the 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses. The 144,000 represent from the... I asked a Jehovah's Witness one time, they talked about that. I said, "Well, which tribe are you? Which tribe did you come from?" That is a representation of a redeemed Israel on fire for Jesus, who will cover the world with their preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the nation of Israel preaching Jesus to the world? Well, that's going to happen during the time of the tribulation, and many will be brought to Christ by their preaching, and they won't receive the mark of the beast. By the way, we live in a global world. You can't tell me that somebody somewhere can't say, "Well, everybody's got to have that little code printed somewhere on their body so they can buy and sell." Can you see how that is possible now? Amen? In the world we're living in? Many will not receive that, but they will receive Christ. And believers who are saved during the time of the tribulation will be attacked by the lost world. Tribulation believers will be ruthlessly hunted down, persecuted, and executed by the Antichrist and his followers. And the Antichrist will turn on the nation of Israel with a vengeance. And multitudes of those believers during the time of the tribulation will be killed. The Antichrist and his followers will not tolerate bold preaching of the tribulation saints. They will persecute and kill many of those believers. And so during the time of the tribulation, many will lose their life in the name of Christ. And then here's the sixth seal. The sixth seal reveals that cataclysmic natural phenomena will occur during the time of the tribulation. Listen again to verses 12 through 17. John said, "I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun, I'd never been in, oh, I was in one earthquake and I didn't even know it. I thought it was the washing machine shaking the house." True story. I said, man, that washing machine is really wringing out some clothes, you know? And it was an earthquake. Now, when the Bible says a great earthquake, we're not talking about a regional earthquake, an earthquake that happens in only one part of the world. We're talking about a worldwide shaking of the earth. The sun will turn black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon will turn blood red, and the stars in the sky will fall to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes and the generals and the rich and the mighty and every slave and every freedman hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they called to the mountains and the rocks. They didn't pray to God. They prayed to the mountains and the rocks. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen a lamb? Little lamb? Cute little things. Every now and then they'll have, you know, videos of lambs on the Facebook page, and little lambs hopping around, and they're so cute, you know. How can a lamb have any kind of wrath? You associate wrath with a lion. But a lamb, you know, you've never heard of a football team called the Fighting Lambs, right? Lambs are very gentle. But here's the wrath of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, slain for us as a lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand it? During the time of the tribulation, the world will be like it's never been before. Great earthquakes. Violent volcanic eruptions will occur during the tribulation. Ash and debris will darken the sun and give the moon a blood-like hue. Massive asteroids and meteor showers will streak through the sky and pummel the earth. The Earth's atmosphere will be dramatically changed. Global upheaval will shift entire islands and even realign continents. And even though the Earth's inhabitants will clearly recognize that God is at work, only God can do that, their reaction will not be one of repentance, but of panic. They will not pray to God, they will pray to the mountains and the rocks. Most of the world's inhabitants will continue to harden their heart, even though they see God clearly at work, and follow the Antichrist and Satan. And so those are the six seals, 1 through 6. And see, all of this will happen after the rapture. You don't want to be left behind. You want to follow Jesus. You want to know Jesus. I wouldn't mind if the rapture happened tonight. Would that be all right with y'all? Stepping on the clouds, here we go to see our Lord. Now, there are people I want to see saved before the rapture happens. And y'all have people in your heart too you want to see saved. You don't want to be left behind. While the Bible reveals that God is loving and merciful and gracious, and He's the Savior of sinners, He's also a God who will judge those who reject Him and the salvation He offers through His Son. God is patient and long-suffering with sinners, but there will come a time when God will no longer withhold His judgment on those who reject Him. God's holiness, righteousness, and justice demand that He judge unrepentant sinners. God gave the pre-flood world 120 years to repent from their sin and with the proclaiming message of salvation through Noah. But as at the end of time, the judgment of the flood came and destroyed them all, and judgment will come. Judgment's coming to this earth. You know, preachers used to preach stuff like that, didn't they? Back in the day, man, I remember when I was a kid at Antioch Baptist Church, and some of those preachers would come into that church, and man, they'd preach hellfire and damnation, and they would scare the H out of me. I mean, literally, I'd go home shaking. And now we don't have all that. You know, we got, you know, we have sermonettes for Christianettes, you know, and how to have your best life now. My brothers and sisters, we need to get back to the Word of God and just preach it. Amen. And preach the whole counsel of God. Yes, God is a God of love, grace, mercy, and kindness. And He demonstrated that when He sent His own Son into the world. But God is also a God of judgment. And if you reject His grace, you will suffer in His judgment. Amen. And He doesn't want that. He desires that none perish. But I'm telling you, as sick as we are of what's happening in the world, there's going to come a time when God is going to say, I've had enough. And it's time. And His judgment will come. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to pray, right? And we're supposed to live good lives and holy lives. We are to be firm in our convictions and firm in our faith and live for Jesus every day and not compromise. And now, not compromising and being intolerant with the evil that this world wants to push on us and wants us to adopt will cause us to be in conflict with the world, and that could cause us pain. But you know how many Christians have suffered for the name of Christ throughout Christian history. And it may be our calling in this day to suffer for the name of Christ. But we must be faithful. Amen? Amen. We must be faithful.